Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Start managing your data, not your infrastructure. Unified, simple, secure. Welcome to Data Done Right. Only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Tonight stands, I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. Apologies straight away. My voice isn't at it. I've got a sore throat, but I'm battling through it. I'm like Cunha, I'm match fit and I'm ready to go. We've got lots to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about Kobbie Mainoo swap deals involving Camavinga, Baleba and even Valverde. Is there anything in any of that? Also, very interesting comment from Bruno Fernandes that may not please Mainoo. We'll talk about that too. Also, Ruben Amorim under fire again. Even when you win, you're criticised. We'll talk about that too. Also, want to talk a little bit about the centre-back situation. There's a lot of change at centre-back. What would be your top three centre-backs? We should get time to talk about this. I mean, I know... This particular journalist won't be working for the Manchester Evening News anymore, but looking at his final player ratings for the Chelsea game, OMG, basically gave De Ligt a 7 and Ahmad a 7 and Maguire a 7 and Luke Shaw a 7. I mean, unpick that one. I'll leave that one for you. But look, I hope you're doing well this morning. Monday morning, I've got to say, these are the sort of mornings I like. You know, I would say this with total and utter conviction. The media want you to be Amorim out. They want to wake up on a Monday morning, have their radio shows, have their TV shows, have their articles written about Man United must change a manager. I think football's changed massively over the last few years. You know, it was only a week ago I was waking up on Monday morning to so-called journalists saying he's got to go. You know, he's got to go. And I'm like, it's not even journalism anymore. It's that they're blatant about it. They hate it when we win. They absolutely hate it because this is how, you know, Monday morning now, no one gives a toss about a Man City Arsenal draw. Liverpool have won 5 out of 5. You know, Chelsea, no one really cares about them losing. And Man United have won. And they're panicking now because they're like, oh my God, what are we going to start the week off with? You know, we can't moan about Man United for clicks. And I'm like, you know, that sounds quite ironic when you talk about the United stand, the toxic stand or whatever. But the reality is that's completely unfair. Like, there may well be people in this community who want to talk about Amorim out. But as a sense and as a presenter, I always back the managers until very, very late. I actually love mornings like this. You know, we've got Saturday lunchtime against Brentford. That'll be here before we know it. Huge game. Beat Chelsea. Positive. And our manager and our club isn't, you know, being piled onto. And I find it quite funny that, you know, they're sort of left with nothing to talk about because without doubt, they absolutely want to sack our manager. And the simple reason is, and we've said it many times before, the reason they want to sack our manager is because that gets them clicks. And then if there's a new manager, that gets them clicks. And then the new manager comes in, you get bored of them quickly, you get rid of them. They are part of the cycle of failure at this football club. And shame on those fans who fall for it, because we've been talking about it for a decade. The media wants to talk about Man United. The media want the interaction. You only get the interaction if you have a negative and a positive and a cycle. And the cycle is new manager buzz. Ooh, look at him, look at him, look at him. Oh, he does bad. Get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him. And that's it, you know. We won on Saturday, but don't kid yourself that absolutely every person in power at these media outlets want us to lose again so they can pile in on us. 100%. Anyway, let's start off with Mainoo, who, to be fair, under the Amorim regime, it ain't looking good, bruv, is it? It's not looking good for Mainoo. I was quite encouraged with him coming on at the end of the Chelsea game for Bruno. But did you see this quote from Bruno, actually? I just saw it this morning. It was Amorim era who posted it on socials. I think I'm more nervous on the bench. I hope I'm not often on the bench. That's Bruno Fernandes. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I hope he is on the bench more. Not in a drop him way. I don't think. look, maybe you are. I don't think I'm at the point where I'm sort of like saying drop Bruno, but I'd definitely like to see him get subbed more. I think that would be a huge step forward. I was quite surprised he took him off with 10 minutes to go when it's 2-1 because he's the captain and you need a bit of leadership. And Maguire had gone off as well. I thought that was a risk. I thought a lot of people didn't pick up on that risk. I said it on the watch along. We've got no Maguire and we're taking Bruno off and we're 2-1 up against Chelsea. Now, credit to those players who got over the line, but I was a little bit concerned about that. I want to see that more, though. I want to see that with half an hour to go. I want to see that, you know, from the start of a game. I want to see his bench Bruno more. Obviously, he doesn't want to see it happening more, but I think this is the natural progression for Manchester United. He definitely considered going to Saudi. A lot of people think he is going to go to Saudi. If this is to be his last season, then we need to phase him out. We can't be so reliant on a player that we have been so reliant on for such a long time. So, yeah, definitely I'm sort of looking at that and going, can we make a change more sooner with that? But if we're not going to, I still think the pathway to the first team for Mainoo is going to be really, really difficult. Now, there's a number of stories over the weekend about Mainoo and effectively talking about the... sorry, let me just send this. Can we... Yeah, sorry, I was just getting somebody was just sending me something about Mainoo. So there's a number of stories this weekend that have come out about Mainoo that I sort of wanted to wrap them up on a Monday morning show. Couple of Spanish reports linking Real Madrid with Mainoo and mentioning Camavinga and Valverde. Obviously, we've got the Belaba story that we sort of talked about last night. And then in third place, you've got Newcastle and their interest in Mainoo. It's look, would I swap Mainoo for Camavinga? Would I swap Valverde for Camavinga? You know, I don't think these are deals that we really seriously need to look at. Having said that, I do think Real Madrid do monitor the Premier League a lot more than people think. We've seen that with Trent, and I think they would look at Mainoo as an interesting profile of player for them. They certainly need to bring midfielders in. But I mean, I wouldn't describe my interest in swap deals for Valverde or Camavinga as peaked. I think that they are very, very difficult deals to do and probably, you know, fantasy. And you also have to be very careful about the fact that it's still only September, 3 weeks ago since the transfer window closed. And, you know, we had our opportunity in the summer. Where I do have concerns over Kaby Mainoo is the summer transfer window or the January transfer window, to be specific. I just feel that if there are no minutes and there are no England call-ups, then I saw him on the touchline talking to Cole Palmer and Garnacho, and it's like, it's very, very clear that he wants to play football, and then the problem is he can't play football. And that's the big thing. I mean, look, they can talk about swap deals with Camavinga, and I'm sure some of you would do it. Valverde, I think you're having a laugh. Newcastle, I'm sure, probably would be interested in signing Mainoo. The big question is what's our strategy for our midfield? Even though we won at the weekend, it's still the most contentious area. You know, it's where the midfield caused us problems at the weekend. It was Casemiro who got sent off, and then you're down to 10 men. And the midfield is just going to be so important against Brentford, Sunderland, Liverpool, and every other game. And I'd love to know what the strategy is, because if Mainoo's just an understudy to Bruno, he's not going to get the minutes he wants, and he's going to keep saying he wants to go. And I think that with Mainoo, it's really difficult to predict it. You can only live day to day. And I think as of today, he would be very, very open to leaving Man United based on the minutes he's getting at Man United. Now, in a month's time, we might revisit it and he's played a lot more football and he's been called up for England and the problem's gone. Do you think that's going to change in a month? We're only playing one game a week. We were talking about this with Xerxes last night. People talk like, oh, they'll get their chance. They'll get their chance. There is no Carabao Cup. There is no European football. There's one game a week and they're cup finals. And, you know, 90 minutes goes really quick when you're sat on the bench waiting for your opportunity. And the next game doesn't come around very quick. So I think that you're almost looking at Mainoo in a... Well, the way I look at it is I'm looking at Mainoo in a month-by-month basis. If you take the start of the season in the middle of August and you look at September now, has Mainoo's position worsened or got better? I'd say optimistically, it stayed the same. Realistically, it's probably got worse because he was involved in the Grimsby game. He's not started any other games. And yeah, I wouldn't say he's closer to the first team. I wouldn't say he's further away from the first team, but it's not been a great start to the season. I'm now looking at the next month to the middle of October and I'm going, okay, there's an international break again. There's Sunderland, there's Brentford, and there is Liverpool. Is he going to start any of those games? I mean, he might start against Brentford and that could be the thing that kickstarts his season. So maybe that changes it. If he doesn't start against Brentford and then Casemiro's back for Sunderland, and then is he going to start at Anfield? It could be another month. And I think...
Time is precious and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That's the best way of explaining the Mainu situation. I just think it's like a time thing where it's just moving month by month, and we've just got to assess it month by month. There's no point saying he's going to Newcastle in January. There's no point saying he's going to be a first team player by Christmas. I think we've just got to accept that, you know, things can change very, very quickly. But it does look at the moment like his only chance of getting in the team is Amrim taking a punt on him next to Bruno or something happening with Bruno. I just can't see him at the moment getting anywhere near that first team, which is what he wants. So I still think he will want to go. Someone in the chat just said, would you swap Camavinga for Mainu? I want to say no, because I don't want Mainu to go. I believe in Mainu. I think there's a really good player there. Could Camavinga do the job next to Bruno better than Mainu? Probably he's more, because he's played left back. He's probably a better defensive player than Mainu. So he probably is better than Mainu next to Bruno. But I don't personally, well, I'm going to run a poll on this. Would you swap, I don't do that, Mainu for Camavinga? There you go. I can see the positives of it. I'm not too sure Real Madrid would be open for it. There will 100% be a lot of interest in Mainu if we decide we want to cash in. Early super chat coming in here, and it's coming in from Patrick Lynch, the voice of reason. Says, my biggest concern with Mainu is that he has become the new Rashford for the media. It's an English player at United and it's unsettled. It's a distraction neither him or the team need. Well, it's a little bit like what we were talking about yesterday with Ahmad, isn't it? Ahmad's been spoken about in the media again this morning because of social media. I don't know whether you do, but I sometimes sit there and I go, we won the game yesterday and we're not talking about the win. Like, I wake up yesterday morning and all I can see is Ahmad's come off social media. And I'm sort of like, this is part of the problem with Man United. I'm not saying United or Amrim or Ahmad are responsible, but this happens all the time. You know, the results, which should be big because we don't win very often, then gets clouded by Ahmad's come off social media. And I think Patrick's right. I think there's a lot of stuff that goes off the pitch because everybody's always looking for an angle to destabilize, because ultimately they want to destabilize because the media want to sack managers. Because Man United, if I'm sat there at the head of a certain newspaper and I'm looking at my figures, I know that if this morning Man United have lost, I'm going to get a hell of a lot more people clicking my article. If I'm saying Amrim's only got 2 games to save his job, they're looking at Conte. Whereas if Man United beat Chelsea in a game that nobody really can take anything away from because it was a, you know, carnage, weather, 10 against 10, that doesn't suit them. They can't, you know, that doesn't suit them. So I think that, you know, you're always going to get this, these angles. And that's why I don't like stories about, you know, people on social media and stuff, because it just gives a distraction again away from the fact that we won the game at the weekend. Do you think it's his agent pushing these stories, says John United? I don't think it's I don't think it's a stretch to say that there was a lot of activity from Maynooth's side in the final few days of the transfer window. I certainly don't think it's a stretch to say that they were trying to get a move. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that they won't be very happy with the current situation. So I think that, you know, if you're not playing and you're not performing, there are plenty of agents of players that we've had at Manchester United over the years that still manage to get themselves into the press. You know, and we can all think of names of players that haven't been performing, maybe haven't been picked, but still get into the press all the time. That's what a good agent does. It doesn't really go hand in hand with what we want as fans, but that's what a good agent does. They get their player out there, certainly. If Ahmad and Maynooth act like Garnacho, then they need to leave. They all have one thing in common and a breakout season. They think they're world-class, says Seth. Slazy says this should be a one-season issue. Next season, Bruno and Casemiro will be gone. So Maynooth will hopefully take Bruno's spot and will buy a new CDM. I agree with you, Slazy. I think that there is an opportunity here. If we manage it correctly, there is an opportunity here where everybody wins. If Bruno's going to be gone in a year and Maynooth's his successor, then it's 12 months. What you need to do is manage that 12 months. Like, and what you need to do is see more of what we saw on Saturday. And I'm quite encouraged by that because I'm sort of like, why did he take Bruno off with 10 minutes to go? He's the captain. But then I think he's throwing Maynooth into that situation. That's showing trust. Does Maynooth see that as trust, or does Maynooth go, I only got 10 minutes? Hopefully Maynooth sees that as trust, that Amorim is willing to take off Bruno Fernandes, who is his captain, to play Maynooth in the last 10 minutes of a game that we need to win. And hopefully we're going to see more of that. I remember Maud saying this before, that he thinks that Bruno will start to play less and less this season. If that happens, then Maynooth needs to trust the manager and trust the club that he is going to be given the pathway to that position, but he's got to respect it. You know, Bruno, whatever you think about Bruno, does give 100% and has done for years. You can't just have his place because you want it. You've got to earn it. Now, obviously, the flip side of that coin is Amorim's got to respect the player and give him the opportunity. When you look at Saturday, you could easily look at the explanation of that 10 minutes and go, that's Amorim trusting him. But what we need to see is more. And if Bruno doesn't like being on the bench, well, tough shit. You know, we need to see that more. We need to see him being taken off for half an hour or not starting games. Ultimately, this is going to come down to Amorim, isn't it? That's what would happen. I'm still baffled the fact that we wanted to keep him and we wanted to go out on loan, yet he still can't get in the team. The mind boggles, to be honest, as the masked unboxer. I think the midfield's a big problem at Manchester United, and it's one that we're probably not going to solve. I mean, look, Belaba in January is being spoken about again this morning, in light of what the Brighton manager said on Saturday, that the player's head's not in the game. You know, he's struggling, and he's probably struggling because of the Man United transfer that didn't happen. I think that's a red flag. But if we are going to go back in for Belaba in January, then it's going to need to be cheap. Like, people say, oh, go and get Belaba in January. But if Brighton don't lower the price, then we won't be able to do that. You know, that deal will need to be around 60 million. Which at the moment, you know, you could argue that's what he's worth, but he was definitely worth more than that at the end of last season. So, look, I think there are options in that midfield. I watched Stiller on Friday night for Stuttgart on That's Football. He's involved in everything. He's got a lovely left foot. He's a good tackler. He can move with the ball. He can pass the ball. Obviously, he's playing in the Bundesliga. It's not the Premier League, but he looks good. We know about Adam Wharton. Conor Gallagher's been mentioned. There are options in that midfield. I don't know what the plan is, but I think we need to buy two. And we need to get it right. Yeah, we need to get it right, because if we don't, then, well, we've seen the problems in the midfield this season. I think I look at the the next few games, and I really do hope that we can, I don't want to use the word grind, but I sort of look at the games between now and Christmas, and I think, you know, we've played City, we've played Arsenal, we've played Chelsea, we play Liverpool in a couple of weeks. Once they're out the way, the run to New Year doesn't involve the top four. If we can just be around fifth place on New Year's Eve and actively go into the transfer market, what I'm trying to say is, and look, there's a lot of ifs, but if we are close to fifth place on New Year's Day, there is a real opportunity to go, let's go and get a midfielder and let's make sure we finish in the top five. The scary thing is, we have seen that happen a lot over the years. Like, I remember being top of the league under Ollie and saying, we need to go, and I can't remember what position it was at the time, but we need to go and get a couple of players. We're top of the league. You know, you got a dare to dream. We didn't do anything. You know, we didn't do enough in January last time. We don't normally do it in January, but I mean, God, if we're anywhere near fifth place in January and we don't go and buy a midfielder and then we don't finish in the top six, I think you've got to look at the ownership again. So hopefully we've got a plan in January. But I mean, January and transfers for Man United doesn't necessarily, you know, go hand in hand. We'll have to wait and see with regards to that. But look, maybe we will go for Belabor. I don't know. But you know, in some ways, it's not long till January. In other ways, it is 3 months, you know, and I don't think Belabor is going to continue down this path with Brighton for 3 months. Whatever that does to his value, I suppose, will be very, very interesting.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I want to talk about the centre-back situation. I think it was Theo Walcott, I don't know what he does now, was moaning about Amrin and his centre-back system and how he keeps changing the centre-backs at Manchester United. And I thought, you know what, Man United have just won a game, but let's have a moan about Man United. As I said, welcome to the media. But I don't actually... I mean, again, I might be in the minority on this one, but I actually don't care about the centre-back situation. I actually think it might be another example of, you know, nitpicking, trying to sort of just attack the manager no matter what. Like, if it's not the formation, it's the system. If it's not the system, it's the back three. I mean, we win the game and I'm seeing pundits have a pop at him for his three centre-backs. Now, apparently, he changes his three centre-backs a lot, but I actually think that it's arguably one of the best areas of the pitch for Manchester United. I mean, we've got a lot of players that you sort of trust, really. De Ligt's been brilliant this season. Yoro's been very good up until the last game or so. Maguire's steady. Mazraoui can do a job there. Luke Shaw's not been good, but he wouldn't say he's been bad. So I don't really get the whole... I mean, it's... If I'm being honest, I sort of feel like there's always, I mean, as I said, it's the media, isn't it? There's always got to be something to go at Man United for. And I think we've just watched Pep Guardiola play a back 10 against Arsenal for 80 minutes. And United beat Chelsea and people are talking about Amrin changing his back three. I mean, Ranieri was the tinker man. He won a bloody title doing it. So I don't really have a problem with him changing the back three, because I think when you've got the players he's got, it sort of makes sense. Like, you know, Harry Maguire might not be a starter really, but you do want to give him game time. And Yoro's the future. De Ligt's been very good. Luke Shaw's been steady. Mazraoui can play there. I mean, I don't... Martinez will be back soon. I don't know. I just feel like it's just another insignificant stick to beat Amrin with. I don't really see it that it's caused us any problems either. I mean, I look at the goals we've conceded. It wasn't the centre-backs that cost us the Arsenal goal. It wasn't the centre-backs that cost us the Fulham goal. It wasn't really the centre-backs that cost us the Burnley goals. And when I look at the Man City game, okay, yeah, all right, you know, I think Luke Shaw is responsible for the first one, as is Bruno. Second one, I think Luke Shaw and De Ligt could do a little bit better. Third one, we're all over the place. But I don't see the defence as the problem, it is my point. It feels like, you know, it seems to be the new thing to go after Amrin for. And I don't think if you actually... My point is, I think if you're watching Man United every game like you are, I don't see people going, oh, he's changed his centre-backs again. I see Man United fans going, look at the goalkeeper, look at the midfield. That's what I see. Would you swap Mainoo for Camavinga, was the question. Well, I love a 50-50 poll on That's Football. This is 50-50. Would you swap Mainoo for Camavinga? 50% of you saying yes, 50% of you saying no. So that's quite interesting. I did not expect us to be locked on that. I suppose that sort of says two things, doesn't it? People are locked in on that one. I want to just go back to something I've said to you before, though. If you want a positive about Manchester United this morning, and there are positives, I think I've said it to you before, and I'm going to say it to you again. I'm massively, massively encouraged by Mbeumo and Cunha. Now, I think we spoke yesterday about De Ligt and Mazraoui and their incredible inconsistencies, but I'm absolutely over the moon with Cunha and Mbeumo. I know it was a bit of a slow start, but I think now Mbeumo's up to pace. You can see why he had such a good season at Brentford. And I think Cunha just has that aura and ability and, you know, common sense, IQ, whatever you want to call it. And if these two players can stay fit for us, I just think we might be sleeping on just how fortunate we are to have those players. Now, we spent a lot of money on them, over 120 million quid. But you know what? You sat there with, you know, Garnacho sat on the bench at the weekend, Ahmad's getting a load of shit, Rashford's at Barcelona, Antony's at Betis. And I actually do look at it and I go, what an upgrade. Like, what an upgrade. And it's not just ability, but it's, you know, it's experience, it's mentality. I've seen enough of Mbeumo and Cunha last season to know that they've got it, because they're doing it for Brentford and Wolves week in, week out. That says a lot about a player. I don't think if you put, you know, Jadon Sancho or Garnacho or Rashford in a Wolves or Brentford team, they'd be able to do it week in, week out. I don't think they would. I think people don't really appreciate how hard it is to be a good player every single week for Wolves and Brentford. With all due respect, they are mid to bottom level teams and are going to be defending a lot. And to be good every week for those types of teams says a lot about the players. I think we've upgraded massively. And I think we're already starting to see what they can do in better teams. I genuinely think we're going to get to a point with Mbeumo and Cunha where we're going to see us play shit and win games. And I'm here for that. Like, I think they can be game changers. I think if we had one of them, they'd be a game changer. But I think two of them, they can be massive game changers. And this is why Bruno Fernandes plays in the midfield, because I think Amrim sees those two players as fundamentally really important. The only thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see him using a front three of Mount and a false nine. I am a bit concerned about that for the weekend. I want to see Sesko as the striker. We spent £70 million on him. I do not want to see, you know, because Mount's had a good start to the season and it feels like he just looks Mount at the moment. I don't want to see a false nine front three. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did that because, you know, Amrim does not listen to any of the fans. He does what he wants to do. But I do think Cunha and Mbeumo look very, very exciting. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Rashford got dropped yesterday because he was late for training. Then he came on and he got an assist. And I read somewhere that he's got 3 goals and 3 assists in his last 3 games or something like that, which is good. It's good. But the mic drop question is this. To all the United fans that want Rashford back, where's he playing? I wouldn't take Rashford over Cunha. Wouldn't take Rashford over Mbeumo. And I wouldn't take Rashford over Sesko. And he's definitely not going to take Dorgu's role. So where does Rashford even get into the team? Not saying he's not a good player, but I think you always need to ask, where did they get into this team? Same thing with Garnacho. If he hadn't worn the Villa shirt, I still think he's a good player. But where does he get into this team? I'm not taking Garnacho over in Mbeumo or Cunha. Definitely not going to play him up front. I think Rashford's the best of all of them, but wouldn't put him in the United side. Would not put him in a United side over Cunha and Mbeumo. And that's how high I rate them. It's got nothing to do with what I think about Rashford. I think Rashford, when he's on it, is a very, very good player. But that's how high I rate the upgrade that we've done with Cunha and Mbeumo. I think they are looking better and better every week. And this is why I said game week 10 for me is when this season starts. Because if you look at Mbeumo on game week 1 and you look at him now, the improvement is incredible. Match fitness. And also they're going to get settled into the team as well. So I think people are probably sleeping on that a little bit because maybe it's been a bit subtle, but I think we saw it at the weekend. I thought Mbappe was really good against Chelsea, and Cunha only played for a cameo, and the intelligence on the ball. And you know, you saw him at the end when we won the game as well. They get it already. They want to win. And I think that was something that wasn't really spoken about enough because we're so fed up of not trusting players. But the players wanted to win on Sunday. Like, I didn't mention it. I apologize for that. I didn't really see many people mention it. And I say I apologize for it. I don't really apologize for it because we've been let down so many times by these players. And we know they can turn up against Chelsea. And we know they can turn up against Arsenal. Will they turn up against Brentford? Will they turn up against Sunderland? But you could see, as scrappy as it was, like you could see how much they wanted to win that game, how much they battled for that game. And to see Cunha booting the ball in the air at the end, it just, you know, I'm just hoping we can start to build something. Consistency is always going to be the key. Barcelona would never take Cunha over Rashford. Well, I don't really care, King Walker, because the last time I checked, this is the United stand and it's about Manchester United. I wouldn't take Rashford over Cunha. You might not. Great. I don't think Barcelona would take Cunha over Rashford because I don't think the system needs Cunha over Rashford. They need wingers. They've got two wingers. They don't have a position where they need Cunha really. So, yeah, I'm very happy with what we've done. My point is, I think we look elsewhere and go, look at what they're doing, look at what we're doing. You know, look at what we're doing. Victor says people hating on Dorgu is bullshit. I did my Monday morning show with Robbie on his channel this morning, and he put Dorgu in his team of the week. And that's an Arsenal fan. I thought Dorgu did okay on Saturday. I think he's a young player that occasionally makes mistakes, but occasionally does good things. I think he's gradually getting better, which is what I would expect from a player of his profile who is being thrown into a situation that he's been thrown into. But I think that, you know, everybody's an expert and everybody's got an opinion. I mean, look, I'll bring this in here. It's sort of perfect. Make sure you smash a like on the video if you're watching, by the way. 10,000 of you. Thank you very much. You're helping me out this morning because my throat's killing. So I'm trying to just work through comments and not talk too much, even though I have to talk. So he's losing his job anyway. There's a journalist at the Manchester Evening News. Apparently he's going somewhere else. I try not to mention the name and I try not to talk about him because he's just very irritating. But it's a good step forward for the Manchester Evening News because there are some other good journalists there. But he's always done the player ratings. And I think many of you have always criticized those player ratings because the agenda comes through very obvious and the favoritism comes through very obviously. He's never been a big fan of De Ligt. And this is the problem, because I think that the reason our player ratings work so well is that if you've got like 10, 20, 30,000 people doing player ratings and it's averaged, it's really difficult for an agenda to come through, because there might be somebody that doesn't like De Ligt and gives him a 2 every week, but then there'll be a load of people who give an honest opinion and it dilutes the agenda. The trouble with like the Manchester Evening News player ratings is it's just one journalist and their agenda. So it's been awful for weeks, but I looked at this and I thought, you know what? I am going to mention it. So the Chelsea game, De Ligt gets a 7 out of 10, but then Maguire, Ahmad and Shaw get a 7 out of 10. And I sort of like go, how do you watch a game and see that? How does anybody, and this is the great thing about football, everybody's welcome, but it seriously does make me question, like how does somebody watch a game of football and go, De Ligt was a 7, but so was Ahmad. De Ligt was a 7, but so was Shaw. De Ligt was a 7, but so was Maguire. And I'm like, the worst one is Ahmad is nowhere near De Ligt on Saturday. By his own admission, I think he'd put his hand up and say, you know, I was nowhere near De Ligt. But that is incredible to me. And that's why when we talk about Dorgu, I think agendas can be set. And it upset me when Dorgu came into the club, a very exciting player, and within two or three games, people were saying Dorgu's dog shit. And you're sort of like going, you know, it's a player for the future. There's no doubt in my mind that Dorgu is a future signing. Much the same as probably Le Mans is. But the difference with Le Mans is that he's not in the team at the moment. I mean, I look at Dorgu, he's 20. He's 20 years of age. He's 20 years of age and he's playing at Manchester United as our first choice left wing back, whatever you want to call it. Patrice Evra, I think at 20 years of age, wasn't even at Monaco yet, let alone Man United. So I think like there has to be that level-headedness and, you know, patience. But we always talk about this. There just never is that patience, which is just so important. Somebody just said, what would your starting three centre-backs be? Well, I'll throw that back to you. I was meant to talk about that, but I digress talking about Dorgu. My starting three centre-backs when everybody's fit is obviously going to be Martinez, De Ligt and Yoro. I think at the moment, it probably should be Shaw, De Ligt and Yoro. Because I do agree with Amrin wanting a left-footed player on the left side of a three. I don't think you can have three right-footed centre-backs. I think that's a bit silly. I mean, I've seen England do it. Maguire's played there. But I think if you're going to play three centre-backs, what the left-sided one has to be left-footed. Now, that means it's got to be Heaven or Shaw. And I probably would agree with Shaw at the moment. Although, he hasn't been that good. Maybe Heaven should have been given an opportunity. So at the moment, I'd say Shaw, De Ligt and Yoro. If Martinez gets fit, Martinez, De Ligt and Yoro would be my three. Look, I think Harry Maguire is a very useful player to have around, and I think he can do a job. I wouldn't have him as a starter, much for the same reason I probably wouldn't have Casemiro as a starter anymore either. I think, you know, it's bench players are good. Bench players are good. We saw it yesterday with Arsenal. You know, I think Arsenal have struggled for years with what Martinelli is. I think what we're seeing with Martinelli at Arsenal is what we've seen at Manchester United for a long time as well. You know, whether it be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or Wes Brown or Johnny Evans or, you know, whatever, the players that are bench players can be massively important. Camavinga, Defo has bad underlying injuries, says Random Guy. Well, yeah, that would be a reason to avoid it, I think. Simply Red says Rashford easily has a spot on this team. Also, Casemiro has 17 goals since joining United. Impressive for a CDM. But, mate, I mean, look, you know, fair play. You put a comment out there, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I completely disagree with you. I don't see Rashford having a spot in this team easily at all. That's why he's not here. He had a chance. He blew it. This is Amrim's team. He doesn't have a team. He doesn't have a place in Amrim's team because Amrin fucked him off. So you, in your Simply Red team, probably plays a 4-3-3 and puts Rashford on the left. Well done. You need a left winger. Of course he's going to start. But in this system, in this manager, he doesn't easily start because that's why he's in Barcelona. He doesn't get anywhere near the team. So a different manager might use Rashford, but he doesn't get into this team because you're not the manager. Amrin is, and Amrin didn't want him. And to be honest with you, I agree with that. He's definitely not a number 10, and he's definitely not a striker, and he's definitely not a wing-back, and neither's Garnacho, and neither's Antony, and neither's Sancho, and that's why none of them are here. Cunha and Mbeumo are streets ahead of Rashford when it comes to Premier League form over the last year and suitability to this system. Doesn't mean Rashford's not better than Mbeumo. Doesn't mean that Rashford on his day is not better than Cunha, but he don't get into this team. Who do you want as that midfield two in the future, says Joseph? I mean, I have a dream. I have a dream of Mainoo and Wharton, or Mainoo and Belaiba, or Mainoo and Stiller. I have a dream. The interesting thing about Stiller is he'd have to play left-sided midfield, by the way. He's definitely a left-sided midfielder. And that's where Bruno and Mainoo apparently play. So I don't know that... I don't think we'll sign Stiller. I don't think we'll sign Stiller. But I tell you what, I've only watched him play 90 minutes once. And I'm looking forward to watching him again because I think he looks very, very good. And when we were linked to him in the summer, I didn't really know, you know, I was excited in the sense that a lot of players have been bought from the Bundesliga this summer into the Premier League. But I'd be honest, I didn't really know a lot about him. But watching him on Friday night, I think, you know, you can see he missed the penalty, he missed a one-on-one. But I still think he looked very, very good. Barca wouldn't take Cunha over Rashford. Yeah, we know that, Robert. We've spoken about it. Tom Grant says, morning all. I think we can all agree Lemens deserves a chance now. Regarding Mbeumo, I agree completely. He's class and he makes me shiver. Cunha is class too, and his class will show in time, says Tom Grant. I think these next two games are exactly the games that we bought Cunha and Mbeumo for. Brentford, Sunderland, these are the games where those quality players needed to win these games. If I look at Wolves and I look at Brentford last season, I'd expect Cunha against Sunderland and Brentford to get a couple of goals. Obviously, Mbeumo was at Brentford, but you know what I mean? I'd expect him to be getting a couple of goals. These are the sort of games last year where they were getting goals and assists. We've got to win these next two. We have to win these next two. I think even if we wouldn't win one and draw one, I'd still be disappointed because it's sort of like, oh, you know, you're opening the door again. We've shut the door with a win. We've shut the door on all the noise. Keep the fucking door shut. Our next two games, no Carabao Cup, no European football, Brentford, Sunderland, keep the door shut. Don't let it open a little bit. A draw will open it a bit. A loss will open it a lot. Shut the fucking door on it. Get to the international break. If I'm Ruben Amorim and I'm those players, I'm going, this is the first week since the start of the season that no one's going to be saying Amorim out. They can't do it. There will be people saying Amorim out in the fan base, but there's no journalist can do it. No news outlet can do it. They'd look idiots. You can't do it. I'd be saying to the players, if I'm Amorim, I'm like, look, we're going to have a whole week where no one's going to be trying to disrupt us. If we beat Brentford, we'll have 2 weeks of it. If we beat Sunderland, we'll have 4 weeks of it because it's an international break. We could have a month where nobody's talking about sacking or selling or anything like that. What an incentive. What an incentive. It's a real opportunity for United. It really is. Going back to the goalkeeper, my honest opinion on the goalkeeper is that the more Binda starts, the harder it becomes for Lemens. I don't know where Lemens comes in. I still think that come Saturday morning, there'll be people hoping that he's going to start because Man City and Chelsea were difficult games to throw him into. I think if he doesn't start against Brentford, people will be going, well, it's Sunderland at home. Personally, I think Binda has got the spot at the moment, and I don't think it's going to change. I wish it would change, but I don't think it is. I think we've put ourselves into the Casemiro effect, haven't we, where we bought Casemiro and Ten Hag kept picking McTominay until he made a mistake. I don't like that because you've got to endure a bad result for the change to happen, and I don't want a bad result, but I sort of feel at the moment that Lemens won't get his place in the team until Binda makes a mistake. And that mistake could cost us a game. I mean, it might be a mistake in a game that we win, but do you think we'll buy a left-footed centre-back, says Ross McRae, magician? You got Luke Shaw, Aidan Heaven and Martinez. You don't need one, but two of those are injury-prone. Aidan Heaven's 19 today, by the way. Happy birthday. Technically, we don't need a left-footed centre-back if those all work out, but two of them are injury-prone and one of them's a kid, so keep your eye on that. Chicken Curry says, only six games so far and Sesko hasn't had much service. Manager wants to ease him in, but fans are already losing patience. Is this Rasmus again, says Chicken Curry. You know what? Again, it's Monday morning. Let's say how it is. I've always said this season, without European football, every game's a cup final and we've got to scrutinise everything. We can't be complacent and just go, everything's okay, because it's not. I think in relation to Sesko, there needs to be a big question because there's two big issues with Sesko in my mind. One, he hasn't scored a goal yet. Two, I'm not convinced he's a starter. So three, why did we spend nearly £70 million on him? Why has he not scored a goal yet? Because the service hasn't been great. Again, two, why do I think he's not a starter? because I think Mount, Cunha and Mbeumo were starters, and you can't start them without dropping Sesko. So I think Sesko is a conversation. I think Sesko is a debate. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it was just match fitness, because he has started the last two games. But I'm not convinced, and Robert McCormack will back me up on this, I'm not convinced he would have started the Manchester derby if Maynou and Cunha were fit, Mount and Cunha were fit. And the same against Chelsea. So my concern with Sesko is that he might take a step back. He might not even start against Brentford, which for me is crazy when you think about, if there's one player that changed the game against Chelsea, it was Sesko's flick-on. I mean, that red card, that victory, doesn't happen without that flick-on. Mason Mount can't flick it on. Cunha can't flick it on. And Mbeumo can't flick it on. So in one way, in one moment, we saw the value of a £70 million 6 foot four striker. But I don't know, because I don't know enough about this signing, whether he actually is a starter at the moment. And if he's not a starter, then he will be under increasing pressure because he won't be starting. Black Wolf says, Jesus, Mark, I just tuned in. Are you sick or something? I woke up at about 4 o'clock this morning. My throat was like razor blades and it was freezing cold. And if anyone's been watching the last sort of week, I've been on and off thinking it was allergies or something, but I don't know. I think I'm just run down, but, I'm meant to be doing career mode later as well. I want to do it, but you've got to be, you know, I've got to be careful with my throat, with my voice, but, no, I'm fine. Yesterday you said it was a concern changing centre back, says Rogan. Yeah, I did, but I'm not so sure it is. And, you know, you're allowed to change your opinion. And I'm not so sure it is. I think if you're changing your centre backs every week, then, you know, obviously it's going to lead to instability. And that's probably where I was coming from. But having had more time to think about it and seen it mentioned more, I'm sort of like, is it not our responsibility as fans to just not jump on these bandwagons? And I see a lot of people in the press talking about his centre backs. And I'm sort of like, it feels like the formation again. And you know, I'm not on that bandwagon, so I'm not getting on this one. Really, are we changing our centre backs a lot? I mean, for me, when I think about our three centre backs this season, predominantly I envisage Shaw, De Ligt, and Yorup. Now, obviously, there's been a bit of change there because people are talking about it, but that, I don't think it's a big issue. Marlo says, a research paper about what makes a club successful states that 75% is the owners and the leadership structure. The manager only accounts for 5%. We will never get back to the top without the owners that creates the right environment. I mean, I don't know the validity of that paper, Marlo, but it needs sharing amongst this fan base because they really don't get it. And, you know, I've said this before, there's no way that Liverpool would be successful now if they hadn't changed their owners. There's no way that Man City would be successful now if they hadn't changed their owners. There's no way that Newcastle would be in the Champions League if they hadn't changed their owners. And there's no way that Chelsea would be where they are if they hadn't changed their owners. So I'd say that that piece is probably about right. You know, 75% of success comes from who owns your football club. And yet we keep changing the manager. One Inch Wonder says, I'm moving to Saudi today, not getting Bruno level wages, but excited, grateful for the United Stand community and how it will keep me connected to home. Well, enjoy it, mate. Everyone's going to assume you're loaded now if you're off to Saudi, because that's just stereotypical how it works. But just remember, whether you're in Saudi, America, that's not one country, by the way, there's a comma there, Saudi, America, India, Australia, Europe, South America, wherever you are, United Stand community is with you. Morning, Mark. I feel Maynou could throw away a career at Man United just because he wants to go to the World Cup. He could regret it afterwards, says JT. Well, you're talking to the converted there, because I just don't understand why people prioritise international football over club football. Why not go for Valverde? His class ability. I just don't think Real Madrid would let Valverde go. Great player. I don't think he would let him go. Why would Maynou have confidence he's going to be Bruno's replacement? He'd probably buy one as well, says Robert McCormack. We should be doing everything to get Cobby into the team and keep him on our books. Haven't seen a local youth team player look the part since Giggs, says Sam. And I agree with your points, Mark, but as Amrim has said before, if he doesn't want to be here, let him go. We don't need players who don't want to be here, says Evan. Amrim says, with no midweek games, a positive result against Chelsea means there will be less toxicity over the week. It's crucial we build on this result. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just massively can't wait for Brentford on Saturday lunchtime. And then Sunderland. I just want us to go and win the next two games. And, you know, I actually quite like it when, even on this channel, it's the cut hardcore. We can have proper conversations without, oh, when's Amrim going to get the sack? I actually quite like that. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes when you sign a player and you've got, you know, 70,000 live viewers, it's great. But I actually do like the 10 to 12,000 hardcore where we're having proper conversations like we've had this morning, because I don't think it does anybody any good constantly being in a state of turmoil. And a little bit of stability this week will be good. Nothing wrong with a break for a day or so, Mark, says Tom. I seriously did consider it today, Tom. But I had to get up and do Robbie. That sounds wrong. I had to get up and do Robbie's show this morning. So I was like, if I'm doing that at 7 o'clock, I'm not going to bin off at 10 o'clock. Ashish says, if Mainoo was at City, Arsenal or Liverpool player coming through the media would not be getting into the player's head about how he needs to be starting. Our bad results make us target, as you said itself. So, Ashish, I think you make a brilliant, brilliant point, because you know what? I'm not saying that Curtis Jones is better than Mainoo, but does this not expose the problems at Manchester United? Curtis Jones at Liverpool doesn't start many games. Occasionally he starts, occasionally he comes off the bench, but he doesn't start every week. He gets in the England squad. I've never heard Curtis Jones going, if I don't start games this year, I might not go to the World Cup, and therefore I want to leave Liverpool. And I think it goes back to what Marlowe was saying. Stability, ownership, structure, vision, players. Is everybody in together, or are people doing their own thing? Now, if I'm Mainoo, I'm looking at that midfield and I'm going, I'm better than Bruno in the midfield. I'm better than Casemiro in the midfield. And I'm better than Ugarte in the midfield. And I want to go to the World Cup, but I want to play for Man United. And I'm better than them. And I will play for Man United. And I will go to the World Cup because I want to be part of this vision. And for some reason, we've got, I want to go on loan. And that to me suggests that there's something more going on here. Because as I said, Curtis Jones at Liverpool, there will be other examples as well. They're on the verge of the England squad for the World Cup. They're not necessarily starting for their club, but they're not going, if you don't start me slots, I want to go on loan. Is that respect? Is that selfish? I don't know what the explanation is, but it always seems to be United's problem. As I said, you know, you look at Ahmad, we win a game, he's on social media, then he's off social media. I didn't notice Liverpool win the Merseyside derby and, I don't know, Conor Bradley going on social media and then coming off social media. You know, it's like there's something about our football club. I'm not taking a pop at Ahmad in any sense of the situation. I think he's a very important player for us, but the external noise shouldn't be heard. And it always is with Man United. And that goes back to what Marlowe's saying, is that how we run this football club isn't proper. And I'd love to have that chat with somebody like Wilcox or Berada or Sir Jim and say, look, you're in charge, but the fans are the most important thing. And our perception of your ownership is that it's weak and that any time we win a game, it gets overshadowed by something that shouldn't be noise, but is noise. Why do these players have the power to change a conversation to them when we should be talking about winning a game of football? You know? Rico Lewis at City is another one, says Healthy Bridge. Yeah, but you know what it is? I don't think it enters the mind of those players that they want to, you know, if I'm being completely blunt, if Curtis Jones said, if I'm not starting for Liverpool, I want to go out on loan, he'd be on loan at Southampton and his Liverpool career would be over. And he doesn't want his Liverpool career to be over. So that's why Curtis Jones ain't doing it, because he wants to play for Liverpool and he doesn't want to wreck his career. It's the respect for Liverpool. And for some reason, we've lost that. And I understand it. You know, I'm not saying that Mainoo doesn't respect Man United. What I'm saying is he might not respect the vision of the club, in relation to what he wants to do personally. And everyone's free to do that. All I'm saying is, why does it keep happening at Man United? And I think that goes back to the top.
Absolutely. And I
just want to reiterate there, I'm not blaming Maynou for it. What I'm saying is the environment at Manchester United creates it all the time. All the time. We need to bin off bad attitudes, Ahmad Maynou. You cannot let the players run the club. But I don't think, Trey, that they've got bad attitudes. What I'm saying is, at Man United, it just seems to happen time and time again. And I think it's a result of the... I think if Maynou was at Liverpool, he wouldn't do it. That's my best... If Maynou was at Liverpool, I don't think he would be saying to Slot, I'm not playing enough, I want to go to the World Cup, so I'm going on loan. It wouldn't happen. I don't think it would happen at Man City. So can you blame Maynou? No. I think it's a result of the way the club is run. Because I don't think he'd be doing this at Liverpool. Because the structure's there, the vision's there, you want to be part of it, you're playing in the Champions League, you know, there's games. I think it's a structural thing, I do. Can't like player better than manager if you want best for Man United, says Arta. Ricardo says, not to take the conversation backwards, but if you look back at the tapes, it was Bruno who signalled to Amrin first to sub him off. That's even more worrying that it was Amrin's decision. It wasn't Amrin's decision. I haven't seen that, Ricardo, and I think that's a great find. And I'll certainly go looking for that at 8 o'clock because I think that is a huge exclusive if it's true. Anyway, thanks everyone for watching. I'm going to go and get myself hot water. We made it through. Thank you, everybody who was live with me. Get your comments in if you weren't. We're back at 2 o'clock and I'm back at 8 o'clock. I'm hoping to do career mode at about 5 o'clock. But we will see how it goes. And thanks everyone for tuning in. Great show again this morning. Nice to start the week on a positive. United. Speak to you in a bit.